welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Shout out to Opti, holy cow, covering for me 2 days back to backs. Never been done before, but he absolutely slayed it. I'm back for the Friday episode. Today, guys, we're going to talk about the continuation of the breaking of the Bitcoin echo chamber. We're finally breaking into mainstream consciousness, and taking the Bitcoin ethos, the ideas of Bitcoin, into the conversation. That's very, very important because I think a lot of podcasts, as awesome as they are, they're political in nature, right? They talk crap about the opposing ideology, but the solution, the fundamental solution to that is voting, right? So, you know, at least in the US, every country is different, right? There's an election roughly every 2 years, and it's like you vote and then nothing ever gets fixed. And the reason is very simple, whether it's a Republican in power, the Republican Party in power, the Democrat Party in power, or, you know, whatever the parties are in your country, the issue remains the same. Doesn't matter. They're going to print money, right? And we've talked about what the unintended consequences of printing money are. I don't think that, you know, Janet Yellen or Jerome Powell or Opti's ex-girlfriend, are inherently bad people. I just think that the incentives are not aligned, right? And we talk about this all the time. Every time they print money, it's a wealth redistribution mechanism from the lower and middle classes that don't have the means to save in assets. Therefore, they don't benefit from asset inflation. They're saving in fiat, and it's a wealth redistribution mechanism back to the very wealthy and back to the government, right? And people continue to seek a political solution to this while the solution is right up in their face. And that solution is just to opt out entirely, right? The separation of money and state. And this is why it's so important that Michael Saylor is making the rounds and he's going on mainstream podcasts and he's talking about the issues that Bitcoin fixes. He's done the circuit. He did Valuetainment. I think Opti played the clip on yesterday's episode or the day before. We need more of that because we have to remember, as much as we think that we're right and we cover these topics and we have the receipts, we have the sources, we have to remember that the people that are listening to us as Bitcoin content creators are other Bitcoiners, right? But we have to win the race to avoid the war, like Corey said, right? We have to win the adoption race. And to win the adoption race, you need to break into the popular mainstream consciousness. And that's why it's so important not to get lost in the sauce with the left and right arguments, not to get lost in the sauce with the culture war, but just stay on message. It's not red versus blue, it's green versus orange. And I think it's happening. I think we're witnessing it firsthand. Anyways, before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host who is always optimistic and absolutely slayed it the last 2 days. Opti, how you doing, brother? How much coffee have you drank this morning?
Honestly, not enough. Only two cups. So I'm not as jacked as usual. But hey, man, I just need a little Nico Jones rant and I'll be good to go. But hey, man, I'm glad to have you back. Quit making me do all the work over here. Quit making me put the channel on my back. No, man. It's always great to be here. This is, I was telling everyone the spaces right now. I'm just honored and blessed and to have this privilege to be able for us to create this platform for everyone to enjoy and be a part of every single day of their lives. It's just awesome doing what we do. But hey, Nico, to your point, let's just hope not too many mainstream podcasts are becoming Bitcoin channels because then maybe we're out of a job. So I mean, let's hope we can keep it together for a little bit.
I mean, I think we have information asymmetry on our side. Anyways, no more delay. I want to bring up a friend of mine and also a fellow coworker at the best place to build your Bitcoin stack, swan.com. Hurley, how you doing?
What's up?
He is the
fucking go Bitcoin or slavery.
Hell yeah. So he's the executive editor at Swan. And he's dropping some, if you guys have been noticing from the Swan channel, some epic shorties, the verses. Those are a lot of those come from Hurley's mind. But anyways, Opti, what are we going to cover during the culture segment?
Well, you know me, I like to feature our guests. So we're going to be talking Swan Media. Well, rather, probably more the importance of Bitcoin media in general. I did take some notes of what Hurley was saying in the before show. So I'm going to just tee up Hurley and just get him to maybe get on his soapbox for a little bit.
Okay, awesome. I love it. All right, everybody, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the show. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Bitcoin Numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the planet, Bitcoin 2023. It's coming up next week, Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th. It's going to be absolutely epic. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get a 10% discount to Bitcoin 2023. Let's go through some of the speaker list. Opti and I are going to be holding it down. We're going to be on the analyst desk. I'm going to be on a couple panels. It's going to be awesome. Hope to see you guys there. Get your tickets quickly. The prices do increase in 12 hours. 36 minutes and 38 seconds. I want to go through some of the speaker list. We have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's a presidential candidate. He's currently in second place in the Democratic presidential, forget what the term is. Anyways, we have Michael Lewis, big best-selling author of The Big Short Moneyball. We have the Chad Saylor, of course, Alex Gladstein, also another presidential candidate, but this time on the Republican side, Vivek Ramaswamy, I hope I pronounced that correctly. We have Arthur Hayes, Tulsi Gabbard, Adam Back, Stacey Herbert, Senator Cynthia Lummis, Jack Maulers, Lynn Alden, Patrick McHenry, Saifedean, Dylan LeClaire, and many, many more. You guys don't want to miss the biggest Bitcoin celebration of the year, Bitcoin 2023, promo code SIMPLY. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 26,345 sats per dollar, 3,796 block height, 789,409. That's an all-time high. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 17,096 blocks to halving, 50,591 halving. Estimate April 22nd, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,354 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $141 million US dollars. And the realized monetary inflation, my favorite stat out of all this, it moves ever so slowly. When we started covering this slat, this stat, it was at 1.78%. Now it's at 1.75%. And with Bitcoin, that stat is continuing to go down forever while the central bankers are scrambling just to get back at 2%. Why should money steal from you? I think that's the big question. The market capitalization of Bitcoin currently, it's at $510 billion. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby. In honor of our guest today, I want to talk about Canada for a second. So we have BJ Ditcher. He was part of the, you know, the Canadian truckers protest. I think that was a huge moment in Bitcoin's history. But again, we always talk about this. We always talk about in the future. You know, I have my saying, which is Bitcoin or slavery. I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that. The future, we have two roads ahead of us. We have a future of central bank digital currencies. We know the current Biden administration is a huge fan of that. They told us in the, I think it's the yearly presidential economic report, that they see the future of money in the United States specifically is a money that comes from a central bank, a money that is issued by the state. We had Brad Sherman saying the quiet part out loud. You know, these crypto bros could just create money out of thin air. But we're the U.S. government. We could do it too. Well, I'm gonna say the line that I have pinned to the top of my Twitter. I refuse to work for money that another man can create for free, regardless if you're in the government. What is the government? It's just a group of people. What gives them the privilege of just creating money for free that we spend hours and hours and hours working for? Imagine working for money that no man, doesn't matter how powerful you are,
there is a cost to make more of that money. And what that is, what the unintended consequence of that is it aligns the incentives long term. Anyway, so I want to read two of these things. It's an epic thread. BJ Ditcher absolutely slays it here. And he goes on to say, now the authoritarian Canadian government has just released its community consultation on the Bank of Canada website. The consultation includes many leading and persuasive questions aimed at promoting the adoption of a central bank digital currency. I'm just going to read you a part of that passage. It says, however, it is possible that in the future, private digital currencies, you know, parentheses, Bitcoin or CBDCs issued by foreign countries could be widely used in Canada. This could compromise the central role of the Canadian dollar in our economy. And I mean, that's one of the things that that narrative is one of the narratives that the IMF said, too, right, is that, you know, specifically when they were talking about developing countries adopting Bitcoin, they always say the monetary sovereignty about these the monetary sovereignty of these countries is at risk due to something like Bitcoin. I don't know about you guys. You can run your own Bitcoin software. You can always audit, you know, what you're running. You could also audit the supply. Can you do the same with central bank money, with state issued money? What sounds more private to you? Their money sounds a lot more private than Bitcoin. Bitcoin's open. You can see everything. It's transparent. Their system is opaque. So again, that's a misrepresentation. That's framing. It's really important that we highlight this. But anyways, here, I think she said the quiet part out loud. And this is what they mean, because you got to connect the dots, everybody. Right? This is what they mean when they say that Bitcoin or potentially a foreign CBDC could compromise the central role of the Canadian dollar. Well, they said the cry part out loud. If you guys don't remember, this is Erica Friedland, and she was the one that initially announced with Trudeau by her side. She announced the freezing of Canadians' bank accounts due to the Canadian trucker protest. And she did this retroactively, meaning it wasn't illegal to donate to the truckers protest before. It became illegal retroactively. I have never seen that before. You know, they kind of walked it back after they got a lot of pushback. But anyways, so she goes, BJ Ditcher goes on to say, this comes after Friedland, the finance minister with zero finance background, and I'm not going to, that's too conspiracy theorist, says, quote, we'd like to unlock the savings of people's personal accounts for the pandemic recovery. She referred to your private savings as preloaded stimulus. It's not your money. Right. So you have to understand it. You have to see it from the way that the central planners see it. That is absolutely terrifying. Right. And these are the same people that are saying, hey, trust us with the central bank digital currency. We're not going to use that against you. I have the clip and then we'll talk about it.
There with this notion of the spending, because you allude to it in your fiscal update. The language seems to me to be important. Smart, targeted. These are words that suggest you want to make very careful, kind of incisive spending on the government's part to get the economy going. What might that look like? Can you give us any detail?
Well, it's great to be with you, Amanda. And I want to thank you, first of all, for really zeroing in on the preloaded stimulus idea. None of us have a crystal ball, but economists like Ben, like Doug, have been pointing out that some Canadian households, and it tends to be the better off households, do have quite a lot of money that they've saved because there hasn't been that much to do in the pandemic. And certainly it would be great if that money could go towards driving our recovery. And I want to make an offer now to all of your listeners. If people have ideas on how the government can act to help unlock that preloaded stimulus, I am very, very interested. Maybe as Doug Porter was suggesting, it happens by itself. That's the best case scenario for me. But if people have ideas on how we can really, you know, try to unleash that, and particularly unleash it in the parts of the Canadian economy that really need support, tourism, hospitality, domestic services, let me know.
What the fuck? Particularly wealthy Canadian households that have saved their money. That preloaded stimulus, you mean their savings, their wealth that they worked for? please give us ideas on how to steal that money so that we can effectively distribute it more effectively than these individuals making their own decisions on what they should buy and what they shouldn't buy. That dude, that is nuts. That language to me is crazy. Hurley, I mean, I'm pretty sure that this should come close to heart. This is why we're here. Like, this is why we're here. This is why we show up every day. This is why we make content. That video to me is it gave me chills. That's absolutely absurd. She's saying the quiet part out loud. We're at that part of the movie where the central planners, these interventionalists, really believe that they could do better with your money than you can do yourself. And that is a crazy, crazy world that we live in. Anyways, Hurley, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Durden in the chat, shout out to you, he nailed it. Evil is talking. She's pure evil. I mean, and a lot of the Canadian government is. I'm embarrassed to be Canadian at this point. I was a proud Canadian. Ever the past few years, we've just been going down a really dark path. And I mean, as is the whole world, but I feel like Canada is kind of leading the charge in that evil. But yeah, I bring it back to what you said in the beginning. I think Stephen Lubka said it. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before on your show. There's been like a containment breach, and all this stuff is reaching mainstream really quickly. I've been telling my friends and family about Bitcoin for a long time, preaching it. My brother is it's been frustrating trying to orange pill him. He actually was the one that messaged me this news about the CBDC coming out in Canada, because he's like, oh, you've been talking about this a lot. Look, they're actually doing the CBDC. It's like, yeah, I know. I told you it's coming. It's, you know, I've been saying this for a long time for a reason. And it's just like, I feel like we're watching the mainstream culture in real time realize this is happening, and it's going to get crazy. And like you say, Bitcoin, or like you say, Nico, Bitcoin or slavery. It sounds a little bit crazy for sure, but that's where we're at. That's going to be the option we have. Like, are you going to accept these CBDCs and total government control of your life and your spending, even more so than you can even imagine already with how the money is? Or are you going to opt into the free and peaceful, you know, alternative? And I feel like I guess people will just have to be forced with that option before they actually choose the right path.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate too. Like, it's like like people don't, you know, at least in the developed world where the bread and circuses are strong, the fiat currencies are somewhat relatively stable, where people don't start asking questions, right? We're seeing in the global south massive adoption, and that adoption is happening very, very quickly because the incentive is there. When you're dealing with double digit inflation and people like Christina Friedland come on TV and they say it's your patriotic duty to use the state currency, Opti pulling up some awesome comments. You know, people have the incentive to seek an alternative, right? So I'm very bullish on the global south. I think unfortunately the developed world is going to have to burn their finger on the stove, so to speak, before they really start to wake up and start asking very difficult questions. The very basic question: what is money? Why does money need to steal from me to work? I think that they've been very successful with brainwashing the general populace with this idea that somehow inflation is necessary, or the world's gonna, you know, catch on fire somehow. But you know, I'm people like Christina in Mrs. Friedland, and when she does these press conferences, like this is great advertising for Bitcoin. Like, this is great. Like, this is, she was literally asking the public, how, if anyone has any good ideas what to do with money that's not hers, on how they should spend it. Like, that is absolutely insane to me. Anyways, Opti, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of to jump off Hurley's point, when we started saying Bitcoin or slavery, it did seem a bit hyperbolic. It was just like a very good meme. And the more we say it and the more that we just bring up the receipts, the more I can't find another way. Like, you can't convince me otherwise that it's not Bitcoin or slavery. It is becoming very obvious that the central planners out there want to control every aspect of you. And I mean, what's this girl's name? Freeland or whatever? Like, what'd she say? Like, we'd like to unlock people's savings. Like, what the F? Like, preloaded stimulus idea. Like, what are these people talking about? The central planners in disbelief. And it's just... some days I wake up and I'm like, I am just so grateful we have Bitcoin because, like, look, I like a money that no one controls. It's a tool that every person needs to use. Why does a government need to issue money? Why does a small cabal of people need to control the money? That just simply brings distortions to value across the world. And now we have a tool that can no longer be distorted for people's needs. And I think that's a beautiful thing. What's the meme? Bitcoin is the metric system of value. And, you know, these people can't just steal my savings because they want to, because they think that they can control the economy better. Like, the divide between the unproductive class, the unproductive class's hubris and reality is huge right now. Like, politicians think they have a right to control everything about you. I don't believe in this. I actively believe the opposite. I believe in leading my own destiny. And if you believe in that yourself, then you should own some Bitcoin. It's a very simple, simple process here. There's a group of people that want to control everything about you. And then there's us Bitcoiners. They're like, wait, I can control my own destiny. Thank you very much. I am a human with a brain still. And we all know that Keynesianism is broken. You cannot centrally plan a complex economy. It just doesn't work like this. As much as these people think that they're smarter than you, there's no way that a single small group of people can control the best for billions of people. It just makes absolutely no sense. So these people are just so detached from reality. Sometimes it really does just like hurt my head at trying to understand where they come from. But what Tyler say, you know, evil is talking. I guess I'm just not evil enough to get these people. Like, they are complete psychopaths.
It's straight up, bro. I mean, like, it's a harsh language, but like, bro, like there's wealthy Canadians that have a lot of savings. And then I suspect she used the like ask the crowd mechanism as like a, like kind of like a, like trying to like veil her intentions. Like, what do you guys think? How do we force people to spend their savings? Like, we gotta get them to spend their savings. Like, who made you the God King, the God Queen, to give you this power to make those types of decisions? Let those families make those decisions themselves. And now if you incorporate Bitcoin into this, now you know why they're so against it. Right? Because if everyone is taking self-custody of their Bitcoin, it takes away their ability to central plan. It takes away their ability to steal through just direct confiscation like they did during the truckers' protest, or the more nefarious one, which is inflation. Right? And I think from their position, that probably freaks them the hell out. Anyways, this is why we're here. This is what the peaceful revolution is all about. Anyways, guys, let's jump into the news. We got a lot to talk about.
The Daily News.
The Daily News is brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Check out the brand new limited edition color, the transparent green jade. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gap Bitcoin transactions, scan and display QR codes directly on the device, assign transactions, and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, guys, I also want to tell you about our sponsor, the Orange Pill app. Stack friends who stack sats. Build your Bitcoin network. It's the number one resource for Bitcoin-only events. If you want to throw a Bitcoin-only event in your city and you want people to know about it, download the Orange Pill app, post it there. You'll see other Bitcoiners. They'll be able to find it easily. Are you going to Miami? I'm sure your day is going to be full of amazing speakers and talks, but what are you going to be doing at night? There's nothing worse than being in a city full of Bitcoiners, but you are in your hotel room watching TV. Hop on the Orange Pill app events page and find all the Bitcoin events on the fly. So download it. And also, we, Opti and I, really, really appreciate all the messages that we're getting. We take time to reply to every single one of them. Really, really appreciate you guys. Anyways, so we're seeing what's happening in Canada. We know what's going on with the Biden administration, how they feel about central bank digital currencies. But what's really interesting is that at least here in the U.S., this is starting to become a kind of like a political issue. It's not only on the Republican side. We have, you know, the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running for president, doing pretty well, right? Especially because he doesn't have, you know, that well-known political track record. I think he has a very strong name that people resonate with. He came out and said, hey, I'm anti central bank digital currency. They're a bad idea. They're going to be used to for totalitarian reasons. And, you know, he goes on, he's pro Bitcoin, right? Pro crypto. But I mean, I guess it's a step in the right direction. But he has no power, right? He's not the governor or he's not a politician. In Florida, though, some breaking news, and we've been covering this over the last couple of weeks. It's finally official. Florida governor officially bans central bank digital currencies in the state. Goes on to say, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has officially banned central bank digital currencies within the state. Moreover, the legislation is set to protect Floridians from the arrival of a Federal Reserve-issued digital currency this summer. The governor has been outspoken in his belief in the negative implications of a government-controlled digital currency. However, DeSantis introduced legislation against the digital currency in March of this year. And remember, we've been playing you guys a lot of these videos. He's really hell bent on it. He's still on that crypto tip where, like, he talks about it. He's like, you know, people should be free to buy whatever cryptos. And honestly, as a libertarian, I agree. But, you know, if you want to buy Doge with your hard-earned money, so be it. But, you know, you're going to wreck yourself, right? Obviously, we recommend Bitcoin. It's the hardest, soundest money the world has ever seen. It's rules without rulers. There's a cap supply. No one controls the monetary policy. But hey, this is a step in the right direction. And you know what? I love the memes that he's using. Big Brother's digital dollar. This is not a Bitcoiner saying that. This is literally the governor of a state saying that. So, I mean, I'm proud to be a Floridian right now. This is pretty awesome. And I hope these types of things keep moving in this type of direction. Now, is this the end all be all? No, but this actually puts a big wrench in the rollout of a CBDC, because they would need Congress to pass a law accepting that, meaning they would need at least 60 votes in the Senate, and they would need the House to sign off on this as well. And that makes it very, very difficult. And they're in a race against time, because as time progresses and the population gets older, and we know that a huge amount of millennials and Zoomers and Gen Xers are holding Bitcoin, it's going to be a political, it's going to be, you're not going to be able to defend that politically. Like, Elizabeth Warren is running on an anti-crypto platform right now. In 5 years, that will be political suicide. So they're in a race against time, and this just slows them down even more. They're not going to be able to just sneak this in through the back door. And I think that's really what they had in mind. Like, I don't think they were planning to go through Congress to pass a central bank digital currency. They don't have enough political support, right? So this is kind of like, you know, DeSantis in Florida kind of closing that back door. And now they have to go through Congress to pass the CBDC law. So anyways, really interesting development. Hurley, what's your take on this? We'll pass it on to Opti.
I mean, like you said, you're a proud Floridian. I mean, I wish I lived in Florida right now. And I wish, you know, you guys do things a little bit differently in the US and in Canada. You guys are lucky that you have kind of state rights, and you can do things at the state level. So you can almost have that a little bit of balkanization build out as kind of the, you know, society kind of fractures from CBDC and freedom money with Bitcoin. But in Canada, we don't have that. It's the provincial, you know, the federal government makes the decisions for the provinces. The provinces don't have much autonomy outside the federal government. So that's huge. I mean, I'm a little bit hesitant to trust politicians. Ron DeSantis, I mean, that's crazy that he came out. I actually didn't even know that he came out and is banning CBDCs. Who knows if he's going to be able to do that? Maybe they're trying to make it a partisan issue and try to cause some divide, you know, because they want to divide us on all accounts, right? And Bitcoin's the bridge. We got to build a bridge between, like I love how you guys spew that there's no political leaning. You know, it's like, there is no, you know, like Walker says, there's no red, there is no blue, there is the state and there is you. So I'm apprehensive to take anything these politicians say seriously, but it sounds pretty damn good. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, 100%. Right. So it's a step in the right direction, and it buys us time, most importantly. And I agree with you 100%. Can't trust these politicians. But hey, what is that famous quote? The enemy of your enemy is your friend. And, you know, at least, you know, this throws a wrench at the rollout of the CBDC. And again, they are in a race against time, right? They're in a race against time. Time is not on their side. They're competing against something that has number go up. Theirs has number go up, number go down guaranteed, right? So, like, obviously, the, you know, the winner of that race is very clear. Opti, what's your take on this? And then we're going to talk about Sailor.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, well, I'm just going to kind of echo what Hurley said. You know, you guys know me, man. I don't trust politicians as far as I can throw them. So while this does feel like the political...
That's a metaphor, YouTube.
I didn't call for violence. I'm calling for... Never mind. This does feel like the political tide is changing towards freedom. This is something I've been seeing, and maybe this is my hopium glasses and just like my hope for the good of humanity. But it does feel like there is still some politicians out there that are upholding the oath that they took to get into office, and that is to serve the people versus having the people serve them and their interests. So, you know, again, like to Hurley's point, I don't know if I can necessarily trust DeSantis. I don't know his intentions, nor do I try to assume what his intentions are via his actions, though. It does seem like he is a freedom maxi. You know, Florida and Texas are probably like the last two states in America that are like very ardent about their freedom and their positions on this. Yes, there's some other really good states out there in the union, but this is the beauty of America. You know, states can choose their own destiny, and I'm here for it. I'm excited to see this move forward. I'm excited to see this conversation continue moving outside of just our Bitcoin echo chamber, outside of just liberty and freedom circles on the internet. And I think it's only a matter of time moving forward that this is going to be the points of contention. I mean, in the numbers, we talk about it, about Bitcoin or slavery, you know, CBDCs or Bitcoin. And we say it all the time. It's not red or blue. It's orange versus green. And I really liked what Hurley said of how Walker said it. What is it? It's not red or blue. What'd you say?
There is no blue. There is the state and there is you.
Oh, man. I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. And yeah, I mean, I think this is just further receipt on the idea that I was been talking about the last couple of days of that there is no one political faction that's out to get us all. You know, there is warring factions right now, and everyone's vying for power. And some people still believe in the ideals of the Constitution. And there's others that have just been bought and paid for by, you know, the corporatocracy. And I think we are just seeing this play out in real time. And I really do hope that the world wakes up to what we say all the time. Like, it really is freedom versus slavery, or Bitcoin versus the CBDC system. And I think if humans are given the option, they're always going to choose Bitcoin. They're always going to choose freedom. I believe in humanity and human flourishing. And this is the only way we can move forward and start to flourish, is via a money that doesn't steal from us. It's very simple. So simple, Nico.
It's so simple, it's hard. It's so simple, people find it complicated. Anyways, you mentioned the Bitcoin echo chamber. I don't want to talk about that today. And Sailor is really, really breaking that echo chamber. I think the very, very big appearance was on Valuetainment. Valuetainment is a 4.1 million subscriber YouTube channel, extremely mainstream. It's a finance-esque type of, I mean, the name, it's in the name, right? Valuetainment, enlighten, entertain, empower, you know, kind of gives financial advice, but very mainstream, right? This is what the mainstream is watching. And I'm just going to read you some of these thumbnails, some of these titles, right? They are, quote, they are stealing your money, Michael Saylor. And it goes on to say, quote, your money will be controlled. Will CBDC destroy Bitcoin? These are not, again, I can't emphasize the importance of this. These are not Bitcoiners posting these videos. These are mainstream content creators posting these videos and bringing these ideas into the mainstream consciousness. And that is extremely important in the adoption race that we're currently going on. However, we played this clip for you guys, or Opti played this clip for you guys a couple days ago. So I want to talk about the latest pod that Sailor went on. He went on this channel called The David Lynn Report. And he had some very interesting things to say. I actually have the clip for you guys, and then we're going to talk about it. Let's check it out.
When you lose confidence in the money, then you start thinking about commodity monies. If I can't trust the bank, if I can't move the money cross border, and if the currency is losing value every year or every month, then I start thinking about commodity monies. And so the thing everybody's been talking about is, what are the commodity monies? Is it gold? Are we going to trade oil? Are we going to move timber, soybeans? Well, what are your choices? If you want to move $10 million in gold, that's 350 pounds. So when it comes time to actually trade $10 million of gold, it's going to cost you $250,000 in insurance and shipping fees to move 350 pounds of gold. If I wanted to move $10 million of oil, that's 125,000 barrels of oil. That's $400,000 to ship the oil from New York to London. Okay, that doesn't make any sense, not to mention the fact the average person doesn't have space for 125,000 barrels of oil. You want to move, property, $10 million of property is an apartment building. How do I move an apartment building from Africa to South America to North America? That's not happening at all, right? So what about a painting? Okay, well, a painting's pretty efficient, a $10 million painting. The problem is it's physical, it's fragile, it's non-fungible, which means that it might burn, it might get soaked, it might get lost, it might get stolen. But if it doesn't get any of those things and you want to trade it to the rich counterparty in London, you're paying anywhere from $500,000 to $2 million in auction fees just to trade $10 million of money in the form of a painting. So, what do we have left, right? I mean, securities, you can't move $10 million of stocks across a border because they're trapped by the counterparty. Holding $10 million of an ETF at 50 to 100 basis points a year is going to cost you $500,000 to $1 million to store your money in securities. So now you see, what's $10 million of Bitcoin? 300 Bitcoin. So I can have 300 Bitcoin on a hardware wallet. I could, in theory, just remember it with a 12-word seed phrase. I can move it cross-border anywhere in the world. You know, by the way, compare 300 Bitcoin as money versus a yacht. A $10 million yacht is 125 feet long, costs $2 million a year to maintain, and costs you $200,000 to move from America to Europe at about 4 weeks or 3 weeks. So you can see all the other forms of commodity money. They're not fast. They're expensive to maintain. They're physical, they're fragile, they're non-fungible, the fees are exorbitant. So if the world's struggling for a solution to commodity money, Bitcoin is the king commodity. It's
All right. Now, connect the dots, right? Because this is what we like to do on this show. In the very beginning, Hurley mentioned it, right? What is the alternative here, right? Like, how can you it's not only about storing, let's say, stick $10 million a lot, let's say $100,000, right? So $100,000, right? What better way is there to store it? Not only store it, right? Because fine, you could have $100,000 in your closet in gold and bars, which, by the way, as a Bitcoiner, I physical gold is dope. Like those bars, they're dope. I think Bitcoin is just superior. Like, if you have self-custody of gold bars, like that's yours, right? Someone has to go and like physically take that away from you, right? What I'm not a fan of is the paper gold, right? So they say, okay, you own gold. Do you really own gold? Or does your broker show you on a fancy app that you own gold, right? So again, it's really important that these ideas that we talk about over and over and over and over again in the Bitcoin echo chamber start to break out of that echo chamber, and it starts to get talked about in the mainstream, because the mainstream is also seeing the clips of Christina Friedland. They're seeing how she feels about your money and how she feels entitled to your money, to your hard work. And at the same time, they're seeing Bitcoin and they're seeing the possibilities that Bitcoin is going to give them. It better said, the how Bitcoin will empower the individual, the likes of which has never been seen before in human history, right? And we're starting to see it. It's like the matrix is slowly starting to break, And, you know, the paths are becoming very, very clear. And this is something we've been saying on this show really since the inception. It's a bit obfuscated right now, right? The battle lines, you know, like you can't really see it, but we're heading into a future, make no mistake, between a central bank digital currency future, which people like Christina Friedland will control, will pick and choose. Hey, 15-minute cities, don't own a gas stove. That's bad. You know, eat your bugs, shut the F up, owe nothing and be happy. Or a Bitcoin future where you will have total power over your money, over your work. And think about how absurd that is, the idea of not being able to have total control and power over the money that you've earned, right? That is radical to me, right? But I think only Bitcoin could, like we say this all the time, Bitcoin exposes incentives. I think Bitcoin I think it's the only technology that would have been able to expose the incentives of the central planners. I don't think anything else had that capability. I think the gold bug started the fire, but I think gold failed because of its physical properties. Michael Saylor was saying it. It's extremely difficult to transport a large amount of gold. Try going to CVS or Walgreens, right? And, you know, going with the gold bar and try paying for a soda or something. You're going to go with a little pickaxe and chip at it, and then the counter is going to come up with a weight behind the counter and say, okay, this is 0.000 grams of gold. We're good. You know, with Bitcoin, you know, it's 8 decimal places, Lightning, all this stuff, you know? So anyways, this is extremely bullish, and I'm telling it right now. I'm telling you guys right now. And this is extremely exciting because I'm in media and I know Hurley's in media. I suspect within the next 5 years, Bitcoin content goes mainstream. The ideas of Bitcoin go mainstream. The average everyday person will be talking about Bitcoin because it just all roads lead to Bitcoin. I think you can't come to another outcome. I can't wrap my head around it. I mean, I think the shitcoiners are, you know, they're kind of under fire. You know, they're you know, whether it's from government, they're centralized. People are waking up to it. I feel incredibly bullish. It's breaking. Look at the quality of speakers that are going to the Bitcoin conference. Look at the first top of that page. Those aren't Bitcoiners that are talking. Those are just mainstream popular personalities, right? Anyways, dude, this is so fascinating, guys. I can't believe we're here in the movie, and I'm so excited for the next cycle. Anyways, Hurley, what are your thoughts on this? And we'll pass it on to Opti.
I mean, yeah, you said it all. It's a paradigm shift. Like, I see a little bit of a gold versus Bitcoin debate going on in the chat too. I mean, I tell people, a lot of people are like, well, what about gold? When I tell them about Bitcoin, I'm like, I have nothing against gold at all. It's just, it's failed as money. Like, let's be straight up honest. You said it, like, no one is transacting in gold. It gets centralized. It can't, one of the fundamental properties of money, it can't fulfill. It can't be transported across space. That's why Bitcoin was invented. It's going to take time for mainstream human psyche to accept something that isn't tangible. I think people have a really hard time with that. Even, you know, young children, if you gave them a shiny rock or I've got Bitcoin right here, they would choose the shiny rock, right? Because we live in the physical world, right? So it takes a little bit to get there. But I mean, as Bitcoiners know, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And it's just so obvious. And I think, you know, a lot of people get confused when we say Bitcoin is inevitable, but really what we mean by that is the only thing that we need to rely on for Bitcoin to take over the world is to basically bet on human incentives to stay the same, for humans to continue to value storing their wealth through time and not being stolen from and being able to actually own something. So, I mean, I feel like it's inevitable in that regard. If you believe that humans are going to stay this, you know, we're not going to all of a sudden change and not value like holding our labor through time and space and being able to store it without anyone taking it from us, then Bitcoin will fail. But I mean, in my mind, it's completely inevitable and it's going to take over the mainstream. I think it's this next bull run for sure. I mean, it already is. It's basically right on the edge of the of being completely in the mainstream, lexicon, and it's coming.
100%. Opti, what's your take on this, brother?
Yeah, I mean, hey, Nico, you and I talk about this basically every single day, whether on air or off air, about the very real need to break out of the Bitcoin echo chamber. And kudos to Sailor for doing that same thing. Like, guys, I know our audience is mainly just Bitcoiners, and we definitely tailor our show to just Bitcoiners. But if we really are going to spread this Bitcoin signal to every single person in the world, then I think it is very important for all of us to spread our spheres of influence to everything that we're interested in. Everyone around the world needs a better money. They just don't know it yet. And as a Bitcoiner, we have the tool, we have the asymmetric knowledge to help everyone around the world live a better life. And I think most people are searching just for that very thing, to live a better life. And it starts with saving. It starts with having something that a small cabal of people can't steal from you for. And we have that technology. We have the freedom tools, and it's Bitcoin. And it starts with just getting Bitcoin into as many people's hands as possible. It starts with planting and incepting the ideas of freedom, of what we talk about here every single day. And it's just very important for all of us to cross-pollinate the Bitcoin message into everything we do. Because what's the Austrian economics meme? It's like money is one half of every transaction in the world. And guys, what do we say all the time? You know, fix the money, fix the world. We have the better way to transact in a digital world. You know, like I love gold. You know, I wear gold. I have a gold necklace, but it failed as money. I like I say it all the time, and Nico always clowns me. I can't wait till gold gets completely demonetized so I can be as gaudy as possible and put it everywhere. You know, I am Latino. I want gold everywhere. It makes me feel good. But I understand that it's just not – it's not the money for the digital world. I really like how Hurley framed it as well. And it's the idea of, what is money supposed to do? It's supposed to store value through time and through space. Gold did well to store value through time, but it failed storing value through space. And we have Bitcoin. And, you know, not to get on Sailor's think boy level, but what's he say? Bitcoin has dematerialized value in the digital world. Or I forget how he says it. But I think that Bitcoin being intangible is one of the key features of it. We live in a digital world, and you can transact in this modern world, final settlement in 10 minutes or less. And you can't do that with any other currency, with any other store of value in the world. And this is why Bitcoin will win. It's just only a matter of time until everyone wakes up to these ideas and pushing what we know to be the truth, not in a forceful way, but in a way that incentivizes people to adopt a better money is how we win. So it's upon every single one of us to talk to people, everyday people, and try to get them to understand why we Bitcoin. And again, one of my friends said it best a couple weeks ago. It's never been easier. Just look outside, go outside, get off the black box, get off the black screen, and go talk to people. And they are already talking about the things we talk about. They're feeling the pain of inflation. They're seeing people, their favorite celebrities, get deplatformed. They're afraid of their money in bank. I brought up the polls the other day, and the statistics. I think it's like half of the American population is afraid of their money in a bank. We've never had a riper soil to orange pill people than we do now. And it's just like, we need to get off the internet and start talking to normal people. It's upon all of us. And hey, you know, I'm saying that as someone that talks to mainly Bitcoiners on the internet. I get it. But breaking out of our echo chamber is priority number one, as far as I'm concerned.
100%. All right, guys. So we talk about this. Sailor is talking about, you know, writing down these 12 words and, you know, all this stuff. Well, dude, you want to make it across the finish line. You don't want to store your generational wealth on paper. Your dog could eat it. It's a bad idea. You want to store your generational wealth on steel. This is the BitPlates Domino. It's easy to use. It's hard to destroy. BitPlates Domino are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases, made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel, and it offers the ultimate protection against extremes of temperatures. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get 10% off anything on the BitPlates.com website. Anyways, everybody, let's jump into the culture. We got a lot to talk about.
The Daily Culture.
brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys, I also want to tell you about Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is just generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimum balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, non-ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. And of course, if you have any questions, doubts, or concerns, you could always hit me on Twitter DM or the Orange Pill app and ask me any questions you want about the Swan IRA. Anyways, Opti, what are we talking about today, brother?
Yeah, well, I did search for Hurley's Twitter. I do have some tweets over here, but I really want to talk about what you were saying before the show. And it's the idea and the importance of Bitcoin media. And I like how you framed it about go meet other Bitcoiners, create, collaborate, spread the signal. And I think this is a great way to start considering what we were just talking about. So maybe give the people a little rehash of what you told us before and we'll continue on the conversation.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think the main message I would have is to meet other Bitcoiners. I basically had, you know, I really wanted to, I saw, like, I come from a traditional kind of TV film background, and I saw probably in 2021, I was like, man, there's really a hole in Bitcoin media, like, you know, films and entertainment. YouTube was just filled with shitcoins. And like, I mean, besides simply Bitcoin, like there wasn't a lot, you know, the Swan Bitcoin channel, obviously, but, and so I was like, I need to start a YouTube channel. I need to start making Bitcoin content right away. I was like, this is what I need to do. I'm passionate about Bitcoin education. So I went to a Bitcoin meetup thinking, you know, let's meet some other Bitcoiners and start hashing it out. And the very first Bitcoin meetup I went to in Toronto, I met Tomer Strohlite, who works at Swan as well, and Matt Hornick. And they just so happened to be working on a Bitcoin film called Bitcoin is Generational Wealth. And they said, we need an editor. And I was an editor, and it was like, okay, let's do it. So from that basically snowballed into me getting the job with Swan and working with all these amazing Bitcoiners, such an amazing team in Swan Media. And I just think that there is such, you know, this culture, like, you know, we like to complain about how fiat culture is all broken and it's, you know, the incentives are all messed up and there's all this rot and corruption. And it's like, if we want to create the world, the bright orange future that we see, we need to start creating it. So it's like getting, meeting other Bitcoiners, co-creating with them, and doing stuff like doing art, like what Brecky at Swan is doing with his sculptures, his proof of work sculptures, which are amazing. It's like we slowly have to shape the culture into how we want it to be, if we want, you know. And so ignoring the noise, ignoring all the noise, the clown world stuff. Like, I think that's been a big part of my 2023 is like, I'm unfollowing all the accounts on my Twitter that talk about the culture war and about all this stuff that, you know, makes you angry and makes you, you know, the algorithms won't want you to be mad. Right. And a big part of that was going on Nostr and realizing like, man, I'm not mad when I go on Nostr. Why is that? Right. The algorithms aren't there hijacking your dopamine receptors and your emotions. So it's just, you know, we need to cut out the noise and create the world that we want to see. And a big part of that is meeting up with other people, finding a tribe, a community of people that feel the same way as you and co-creating with them. We are creators. People, I think that's a big part about fiat culture. We forget that. We were just so, you know, we rely on the state to do everything for us, and we just feel powerless. I get that, you know. Bitcoin cured my nihilism, and I really do see that now, that I was nihilistic all throughout my 20s and, you know, my early 30s even, until I found Bitcoin. And so being awake to the creators that we are and co-creating with other Bitcoiners is the way that we fix the culture. That's the way we do it.
Absolutely love it, bro. I couldn't have said it better myself. Hold on, Nico, you're muted.
I'm tearing a little bit. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Absolutely love it. I couldn't agree more. And Hurley, you said something in there, and you said it again before we started. It's the idea, and I think a lot of Bitcoiners don't realize this, or maybe they do subconsciously, but I really like how you framed it. It's like we are on the forefront of a new culture, and I don't think people really realize that, or they just take it lightly. And I 100% agree with you. And this is why I'm always saying in Twitter spaces on the show as much as possible. It's like, guys, become the shining example of being a Bitcoiner, live a good life. And this is how we spread the message. And it's what you just said, like we are creating the culture in real time. And I think more people should at least acknowledge that very basic premise. Like we are creating the new culture for the world in real time.
Yeah, it's really easy to get caught up and angry at the way the world is. Like, I've been there. Like I've kind of been in that dark area where it can be a little bit just, you know, depressing. But I feel like, you know, once you find the light at the other end, and Bitcoin's a big part of that, you realize that focusing on the positive and just the world that you want to, just cut out the noise and live the life that you want to live. You know, don't get mad about how people are micromanaging their lives, or the way that they're, you know, all the little things with the culture war. Is just cut it out and create art, create beautiful things. Basically repeating myself, but you get what I mean.
Absolutely love it. All right, let's pull up some of these tweets over here, because
pulling up my tweets?
Yeah, some of your tweets. Nico and I are also fellow millennials. And I really like this very simple tweet. Millennials unite. Nico says it all the time. And I think he wasn't the first one to kind of paint it like this. But millennials, I think we might be one of the poorest generations. And I know I felt the pain, and Bitcoin gave me that optimism to like, wait, I do have a new future just because I'm stacking Bitcoin. So if there is some millennials out there that are just by chance finding the channel, what would be your pitch to them if they are critical or skeptical of Bitcoin?
I mean, yeah, that's a great question. Just learn about it. I mean, that's what I try to tell people that, and it's easier said than done, right? You're like, I mean, for me, there was, when I fell down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, there was that curiosity, because I was right around in late 2020 when the price was rising up and had just surpassed its all-time high of 20,000. And I was like, what the hell is this thing? You know, it was like my third touch point. It was, you know, I think in 2017, I worked for a company and a lot of the people were invested in it, and they were like, oh, it crashed. And they were all upset because they lost a bunch of money. And I was like, oh, I guess it's dead or whatever. And then there was just this deep curiosity for me. What the hell is this thing? And why are people valuing it as at $20,000 per unit? I was like, I thought this was just some made up internet thing. And so I just want people to be curious again and ask questions. And you know, a big part of what Bitcoin I find is it, when I went down the rabbit hole is the personal responsibility is huge. Mm. I feel like it's like the secret sauce to everything that's going on here, because a lot of people just don't want, they're just so used to not having to make decisions for themselves and not have to research their own stuff, not have to do any of that. Bitcoin teaches you from the ground up of personal responsibility. And so it's just getting people to take responsibility for their life. Be, you know, it's like if something bad happens in your life or something, you know, there's this mentality to like blame other people or blame everyone but yourself. Or it's like, you are the one that did it. You're like, you create your reality. So it's like the buck stops at you. So, what I would say to millennials is, like, you know, I think the best way to approach it is to be like, what, like, you know, don't even talk about Bitcoin. Talk about like, why, like, does it make sense in a world where, you know, like kind of like how Jeff Booth says, in a world where, you know, technology is improving our lives, shouldn't our life be getting easier? Why is everything getting more expensive? What, you know, why are we falling further and further behind and working harder and harder? And I think that like just a bookends at the top of the show, you were talking about, Nico, that this containment breach is happening. This is reaching the mainstream lexicon, or people are talking about inflation. People are talking about what is money. People are talking about not being able to afford homes and how it doesn't make any sense. And why can't they just print money out of nowhere? That doesn't make any sense. So I think starting there and getting people to do their own work, to dig through the rabbit hole and find their own you know, personal responsibility is the key.
Yeah, 100%. And I do agree with you as well that, you know, the matrix is starting to break. And, you know, very proud to say, you know, and Hurley, you're in the trenches with me, right? It's like, you know, in a way in Bitcoin media, you know, and shout out, of course, to the legends that really were here, you know, whether, you know, it was Citizen Bitcoin, Brady, you know, TFTC, you know, these guys, Stefan Lavera, right? They were making content when people forget, but Bitcoin content didn't exist, you know, when they started this, you know, and then seeing how far it's progressed. And now we're like reaching this crossroads where the stuff that you're talking about is affecting everyday people. Like they're seeing it. Like it went from theoretical to like, holy crap, now this is happening before my eyes. The last bull cycle, it was a public company taking the Bitcoin risk, which is Michael Saylor. He's been vindicated, I might add. Nayib Bukele on the nation state level. The next cycle, it's going to reach a point where it's like, it will be irresponsible as a public company not to have Bitcoin on your balance sheet. It will be irresponsible as a small nation state or a nation state in general not to have some exposure to Bitcoin. I mean, look at Bhutan. Bhutan didn't say anything. You know, they didn't have, you know, they weren't vocal about it on Twitter. They didn't say anything. They got, you know, the Celsius bankruptcy exposed that they had a lot of Bitcoin. And they're like, okay, you know what? Let's just tell everybody we're mining the crap out of Bitcoin. We're mining a lot of it. $500 million investment. We have a lot of hydroelectric power. You guys can go fuck yourselves. We don't really have any. We don't have anything to comment. This is what we're doing, you know, but, you know, and I think that there's a lot of other countries that are doing that as well. Anyways, Opti, let's do we have time for? Okay, let's
do it. It's Friday.
Let's do it. It's the Friday show, guys. It's going to be running a little bit long today.
You need the transition. You need the transition.
All right, Opti. Oh, okay. I thought you pulled up another one of Hurley's tweets. Did I ruin meme?
I do have some other stuff here of Hurley's tweets. Yeah, we can do that.
No, here, let's use like the next 5 minutes. I really want to highlight something that dropped today. And I know you guys have been, I mean, I'm part of it, right? We've been working pretty hard on the Swan Media side about a specific project that dropped today, went live about 18 minutes ago. The name of the series is called The Bitcoin Tour. You know, shout out Captain Sid. So Hurley, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about that? And I'll pull it up while you do that.
Yeah, it was last year at the Bitcoin conference, right? 2022. Sid decided to get on a Harley and travel across the country and go to all these different Bitcoin meetups. And, you know, he realized that these are his people and he wanted to meet with these people. And Oceans did an amazing job on the edit. He filmed a bunch of footage all by himself, a bunch of interviews. He got some great interviews. Check out this amazing series. There's going to be, I think, three parts. So this is the first part of a three-part series. Check it out.
Absolutely. And you can find it on the Swan channel. Yeah, man, it's super, super exciting. I can't believe this, man. This is what a privilege to, you know, to be a part of this. And I'm glad that you are on our side, Hurley, and we're fighting
in the trenches, man.
We're in the trenches fighting the monetary demons. All right, everybody.
From our computers editing.
Exactly. Behind our Anon accounts.
But it's like using your skills to, you know, further this message. Right. And that's the way I look at it. It's like, I know how to storytell and edit. So it's like, I need to make Bitcoin educational content. That's what we do.
Yeah. 100%. This is narrative trench warfare. Memes are, what is it, Opti? Tweets are bullets and memes are artillery. All right, everybody, let's jump straight into the meme review.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks. Kaboom. Kaboom. It's so funny. So Opti and I, we did a live show at the mining conference, and I don't know what it was. It was Alex from Kaboom Racks, or they had a big presence there. And the entire conference, it was just stuck in my head. And I just kept repeating it. Kaboom, Rex. Oh, and then Opti showed me how to make your voice deeper with the Rodecaster. So I made it super deep. And I was like, Kaboom, Rex. Kaboom, Rex.
All right. Shouts out to the boys at Kaboom, Rex. Shouts out to Alex and Nick. All them. Best place to get your Bitcoin miners. Anyways, this is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show where you guys tag us in the memes on Twitter. You send us the memes in Telegram. I do my best to get as many as possible on the show. You guys watch everything else we say on the show just to see your memes on the show. And as Nico always says, and he said it already, tweet to the bullets, memes are the artillery. Guys, we are in an information war. And shouts out to Hurley as well for putting his hat in the ring and spreading the Bitcoin signal, using his skills to get the Bitcoin message out there, because that's really all we're doing here, guys, is just trying to wake up people to the idea that Bitcoin is a better way to transact in the modern world. It's the best way to save and build yourself a future. I saw someone in the chat. I think it was this guy, Omad. Shouts out to you. He's like, yo, I am 60 years old and Bitcoin is the only reason why I've been able to save. I am half your age and it's also the only reason why I was able to save. Anyways, let's get into these memes. The first one is by Romolo. The Bitcoin journey looks like this. And it got it's an XY axis here, kind of, but with some charts. And it goes allocation and knowledge. The Bitcoin allocation in your portfolio reflects your level of understanding. Oof. And we got the first step where you just got a little bit of Bitcoin and then you get more knowledgeable and you got a lot more Bitcoin. And then you're one of you guys out there watching this show and you're all in on Bitcoin because you just understand it's the best way to save. What was that, Hurley?
I said the psychopaths.
The psychopaths, exactly. Accurate. The illiterate Bitcoin maxis. Anyway, this next meme is by Beaver Bitcoin. It goes, can you confirm Ray Dalio? And we got the cycles of fiat currency. We got the Dutch, British cycles. Roughly 250 years. We have the US dollar on the downward spiral. And then we have the Bitcoin cycle, which is up and to the right. Hold on. Do I have it? Do I have it over here handy? Do I have it here handy? I don't have it here handy. Oh man, it would have been perfect. All right. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I know. I should reorganize this. Oh, here it is.
It's going up forever, Lord.
That's what it's saying right there. Okay, this next meme is by Rabenstein.
Huddle to that feeling.
Yes, don't stop believing. Huddle to that feeling. I forget what cartoon this is, but anyways, it goes, got any fatherly advice for me? And the father goes, yeah, don't try to break Bitcoin by paying Bitcoin miners a shit ton of Bitcoin. Makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Okay, this next meme is by Jose S. Bam on Twitter.
Nice little jab there.
And it goes, meme Thursday. Paste your latest Bitcoin meme in the comments. Go. And no one did it. Shouts out to Jose for trying. We got this little, I don't know, Zoomer here, and he goes, fees are too high. We have to increase block size. And we got a Chad Bitcoiner that goes, TikTok next blocks 2017 called. It's missing you. Oh man, it's been an interesting weeks the last couple of weeks, and everyone freaking out. Anyways, this last one is Maxi's Club, and it goes, the first rule of Shitcoiners Club is have fun staying poor. You need to save in Bitcoin. This is the only way to save. Anyways, this next one is by 21JCLP, and it goes, be a beacon of light in the dark, Bitcoiners. And we got this AI generated Bitcoin, which is the lighthouse, which is the signal. Saving in sats is the signal. It's the only thing that is going to get you through the great transition that we are experiencing in this current moment. Anyways,
this is my favorite one. No, shout out the Bitcoin therapist, man. Holy cow.
For reals, he kills it. Shouts out to you, bro. Okay, so this is the BTC therapist on Twitter, and he goes, be your own bake, hashtag Bitcoin. And this is the classic Joe Rogan at a UFC fight when something crazy happens, he freaks out, and he goes, when normal people realize the banks don't really have their money, and it's Joe Rogan just like a freaking out, like, oh yeah, that's a good one. All right, drop your meme review score in the chat as we cover hours live. Oh, yeah. I was looking around for my meme review score, Nico, but I pulled it out early. Okay. Again, I'm back to BTC pin sat obsessed mentality cards, but this one's a special one. It says, cry harder. Continue to cry harder, everyone out there.
All right. I'm not as hardcore as P. I'm not going to eat a shoe, but I'm going to give it a shoe. That's my, that's.
Dude, that Nico, it's Friday. You should do a shoey.
I should.
Is that how you drink, drinking a beer out of a shoe?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? No.
Have your next coffee in the shoe.
Definitely not that shoe, dude. No.
That's the point.
Maybe like a croc, you know, and you can clean it beforehand.
That's his only skill. That's his claim to fame, right? Just drinking beer out of a shoe.
Yeah.
Who is this person? Who are we talking about?
Some random guy on UFC. Just drinks out of a shoe, right?
Yeah.
Does he do it before a fight?
Yeah.
Does he do it before?
No, he does. Like just partway through, the camera will go to him in the crowd, and he'll just like drink, chug a beer out of a shoe, and everyone's like, "Yeah,
do a shoey with water," and he go,
"No, maybe next time." I wasn't prepared. My mind wasn't prepared for this. Anyways, Hurley, what would you give those memes?
They were pretty good. I'd give them a solid 8.5 out of 10. They're very good.
Okay. Throwback score. Let's
throw back. I love that. We started
that beautiful lighthouse, man. P was probably like he's, you know, and Connor who's making the they're like the Midjourney guys with her stuff. That was incredible.
Yeah, dude. P's a wizard, and Connor with their AI skills, it's dropping them. It's absolutely incredible. Anyways, this is mematics. This is how we win this war. Anyways, everybody, before we start reading some of the scores, I'm going to give a shout out to our clothing sponsor, representltd.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. Opti's wearing the classic black and white represent hoodie and the dad hat, which is sold out. I think there's some snapbacks that are still left. You guys can scan the QR code on your screen right now and it will take you directly there, and you could purchase a Simply Bitcoin classic snapback, but get it while supplies last because these things have been selling out pretty quickly. Anyways, before we get to the scores, cue the epic music. All right, here we go. All right, HODLcoin. I give those memes a community note from no other than World Economic Sellout and new Twitter CEO Linda Yak. Opti's golf caddy, Danny Yellen. Score, Opti, Copper, Brad Sherman, and Bitcoin in a deep, dark basement with a dirty mattress on the floor. What does that mean? I know.
If you know, you know. You know. Dirty dog.
All right. Elaine, score, Bitcoin in every wallet and shouted from every mountaintop. The Bitcoin flag will wave over every city in the world. I love that. All right, it's basic biology. I give the memes a small cabal of rabbits printing carrots out of thin air. Bitcoin for Canadians. I give those memes another wonderful weekend of saving in Bitcoin. Be aware and focus. Meme score, buy the fucking dip license plate. I like it. CGO05, score, the amount of dollars the Fed printed in the last 3 years. Skip on down the road. Score, 3 Joe Rogan overreactions to bears doing bear stuff. Rave Elevator, I give the memes 21 million T-size gold necklaces, and that's a beep. Opti, do we have one more?
Yeah, there's a few more in here. All right, definitely a few more.
All right, we'll run it through them. All right, Bushmaster Udi the Wizard stumbling on the robe into Trump JPEG. All right, this is the last one. You deserve real money. I score those memes hope breaking into the mainstream. Oof. Oof. All right, we're going to end it with that one. Okay.
Wait, one more. For the culture.
All right, Opti, you read it.
I rate these memes 420 bytes per sat per meme.
Thank you, Jose. I appreciate it. Good score. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Simply Bitcoin Live. This is a Friday edition, so we went a little bit long today. I want to give a shout out to a very special guest and fellow coworker at Best Place to Build Your Bitcoin Stack, swan.com, Hurley. Go follow him at Hurley Burt on Twitter. Hurley, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs and what you're working on these days?
It's a blast to be here, man. Thanks for being here. It's been an honor. Yeah, find me on Twitter. The handle's right there. I'm on Nostra too. It should be in my Twitter handle. And I'm working on Swan Media and Bitcoin Entertainment. So check us out, the Swan Bitcoin channel. I edit Hard Money with Natalie Brunell and the amazing writer Hunter, who was on your show a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and let's keep creating Bitcoin content.
Thanks, Hurley. Thanks for joining us. All right, guys, that was the show. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, help us break the Bitcoin echo chamber, is push Bitcoin content. Push it all. Don't just share this channel. Share all Bitcoin content. Don't share shitcoin content because that's counterproductive. That moves us back. Share Bitcoin content. Anyways, guys, the party does continue all the way to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are co-hosting a Spaces with our friends over at swan.com. And shout out to the best producer in the game, producer Jacob. So if you guys want to join the after party, open Twitter, find the Simply Bitcoin handle, and you'll see the Spaces. Jump in there. That's your opportunity to hang out with Opti, ask him some questions. And shout out to all the people in there as well. Anyways, guys, we'll be back on Monday for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Just so you know, heads up for next week. On Wednesday, we will be taking a break due to the Bitcoin conference. So we'll be back on Monday. Tuesday, we have a special edition of Simply Bitcoin. We're doing a Simply Bitcoin and BTC Sessions live show from the Bitcoin Grove. Get your tickets for that. Actually, you can hit me up and I'll hook you up with the ticket. It's going to be our first like kind of live event. It's going to be awesome. Really, really looking forward to that. The details are in the video description. You could also find it on my Twitter, and you could also find it on the Orange Pill app as well. I will be dyeing a streak of my hair yellow or blonde like Ben, but I think it's going to be on the other side. I think I'm going to be getting a haircut too. Anyways, guys, have an amazing weekend. Hope to see a lot of you guys in the flesh at the Bitcoin conference. Love you all. See you guys later. Peace out.
Nope, it's perfect, Brandon.
It is what it is. You already know the deal. This is the Simply Bitcoin Spaces. This is the Friday edition, so it'll probably be a little lighter in here than usual. But come up here.